Welcome to DG Courtroom, brought to you by No Halftime. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for DG's Courtroom, our second show, even though we've been doing this all year long. Second show of DG's Courtroom, because remember, we did change the name. For Tuesday, December 20th, 2016, 11 games on tap. We cannot mess around on today's show. The judge cannot be rambling. Lots to get to, tons of news already out for Tuesday's games, including Blake Griffin, Brooke Lopez, and Kevin Love, which opens up the slate, opens up a lot of value. Very intriguing slate here. I will say this, the judge is sick, I got a cold, my head hurts, my throat hurts, I'm tired, it's sleepy, it's early for me, I guess, for doing the show. It's only 2:04 a.m., but if I don't make sense, I'm going to blame it on this cold I came down with, because it's freezing cold in New York City, and I don't really have a winter coat. I bought some really hot, smoking hot sales lady. She duped me into buying a coat. She told me it'd be fine for the winter. It's totally not. Man, pretty girls, man, that they get away with everything. Anyway, I think that's why I got sick, quite honestly. That's part of the reason. But hope you had a good Monday night. It was a small slate on Monday, but it was a lot of fun. I was able to make some nice money, and I was I'm trying to think why I didn't make monster money. If there's one sole reason, there's not really. I guess I don't know. I mean, I don't. There's nothing I really would have done differently. I mean, I didn't have Bazemore in my lineup. I mean, that was one of the keys. You know, the small forward position, the value guys, was my weakness. I had Finney, Kinney, Linney, Rennie Smith in one of the lineups, that Dallas Buster. And then I had Kelly Oubre, and they both underperformed. Or Oubre did fine in the minutes he got. I thought he was playing actually really well. He should have got more minutes than Markieff. But so that was the one spot that kind of held me back. And if I would have played a guy like Bazemore, I probably would have taken thousands instead of hundreds. But look, it was a solid night. So hopefully you guys had a lot of fun too. Quick note before we start and get in the meat of this 11 game monster slate. I think going to start offer some premium services that I used to do on my website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, on a limited basis. So I'm going to do like 30 minute phone consultations for people who really need it and who are really struggling, who kind of just want to work on roster construction and to make sure you guys kind of are doing the right things in research and have the right process in place. The one thing that I'll continue to say that I'm seeing a lot is that people are just using the wrong lineups in the wrong tournaments. Too many people are using cash game lineups in GPPs. I'm seeing way too much of that. And also I think people are entering the wrong tournaments. I mean, it's little things like that make the world of difference. So, you know, time is a huge issue for me, as you guys probably can know. So I can't do a ton of consultations, but I'm probably going to do some of those. And then maybe some lineup assessments as well, where basically I look at your lineup, you kind of DM me or tweet me or email me your lineup. And then I kind of just, you can either do a cash game or a GPP, and then I'll basically review it. I think I charge $30, for the phone consultation. I should give you my lawyerly fee. I think I charge like $600 an hour for that. But like $30 for the phone consultation, the lineup assessment, I'm not even sure yet, but I'm just thinking, I think I'm going to do that on a limited basis, nothing crazy. So if you guys really want some help with that, let me know. Also, please download the app Draft. It means a lot to me. Support the sponsor. That means you're supporting the show. That means we'll get more shows. And if you could do me a big favor and rate and review the podcast, that helps us get up in the rankings. We have fallen out of the rankings, guys. They rank, if you look at like on like iTunes or whatever, I think they rank the 150 shows in like the sports and recreation category. We were up there, man. We were in like the 30s to start the season. Then we, you know, shot down to the 70s, the 100s, and now we have fallen out. A big way we can get back in there, which helps a lot with sponsors, is if you got, all you got to do is just rate and review. Give me 5 stars and write a sentence. Say, I like the judge, or the judge makes me happy, or whatever you want to say. Judge makes me sad. As long as you give me 5 stars, that would mean a lot to me as well. If I can do a show sick, you guys can take 2 minutes out of your day and do that for the judge. I would really appreciate it. Thank you guys. Let's talk Chambers from Monday. I'm mad at all you guys because the judge did not take both Chambers down. I thought I was going to early in the night. And then It's Wags and Les Cano Vargas. I don't know where you guys come up with these names. they tied in the first Chambers with a score of 373, which was a monster, phenomenal score. So congrats to you guys for It's Wags. It was his first win of the year, second the time he's cashed in Chambers. For Les Cano Vargas, it was a second win and fourth time he's cashed. So he's knocking on the door of the power rankings. Congrats to you guys. And then Dallin Luck won the second Chambers. We only had two Chambers on Monday night. And that was his third win and his fourth cash. So he also is kind of trying to knock on that power rankings door. The judge came in third in both, so I was not pleased with that. I got knocked down late. I did not have Jokic in Chambers. I went with my boy Thaddeus Young and Paul Millsap. And both those guys played really well. I mean, Jokic, though, is just on another level right now. He's basically become Joel Embiid. He's unstoppable, and he stayed out of foul trouble on Monday. So he was great. Put up over 50 FanDuel points. He was awesome. I had him in other lineups, but not Chambers. And I got to give a special shout-out to my boy, Ro Jacko, because he was begging for one on Twitter. No, I'm just playing. He's been a really good player. He's been in Chambers a lot, and he was talking smack to me all day. He was going to chase me down in the Chambers. He fell 2 points short, even though he had Jokic. But he finished fourth, though, and he's been in Chambers almost every day, and he's a longtime follower and listener of the show. So congrats to him as well. I mean, fourth place in Chambers, that means you had a good night, because the Chambers is no joke, man. I mean, again, tonight it happened. I mean, 373, that would have won. I think that would have been top 10 in the Slam, which is one of the main tournaments on FanDuel, a $25 entry fee that I play every night. So that's just a monster score. All right, we're going to do quickly Dream Killers because we got a big show today. The entire Pistons team, wow, Reggie Jackson, he single-handed. I've never seen one player kill a team like this. I mean, I guess Kobe did in his own way, but at least Kobe was, you know, one of the best players of all time before he really killed that whole team. But Reggie Jackson, I mean, the Pistons are basically giving up right now. Stan Van Gundy is going to make some changes to the starting lineup. So I look for like probably John Luehr to start in the near future, maybe. Maybe Ish Smith. Maybe he puts Reggie Jackson off the bench. I'm not sure what he's going to do. But if you played any Piston, you ended the night very upset. I played one lineup of Andre Drummond, and sadly that was in like a $50 single entry GPP. I'm going to blame that on this illness that I came down with, the cold. I mean, and I ended up missing the cash line by 1 point. And I mean, I had Miles Turner, every other lineup at center. So just, yeah, it was frustrating to play any Piston. And I mean, it's a disaster right now for that team. If you play Glenn Robinson, he really let you down for Indiana. And then any of, you know, the value guys like Finney Smith, even guys in OKC like Morrow, Roberson did okay, but Morrow did not. I mean, Westbrook does not let anyone do well except for himself. And then, you know, Markieff wanted to show the fact that he loves his brother. And if so, his brother stunk for the Pistons, Marcus. So then Markieff had to stink for Washington. Dream Lovers, if you played Bazemore, I mean, it came late in the day that he was going to start, and they moved Tim Hardaway Jr. to the bench. And that screwed up a lot of my lineups, because I actually had Tim Hardaway Jr. as a cash game play. But then I swapped him out, and Bazemore did really well. I put up over 30 FanDuel points, and he was the missing key to the, quite honestly, to the puzzle. He was that value shoot, a small forward play. Westbrook went nuts. He was a core of mine. If you faded him on Monday, I can't imagine you cashed. If you did, let me know, because I don't know how you did that. Jokic, just 50 points. I mean, every power. The thing that was weird on Monday is everyone had a good game. Almost every, no, I shouldn't say that. Almost every point guard and almost every power forward had a good game. Like, you know, Thad Young, Jokic. Then if you spent up, and Millsap, even Gorgie Dang did okay. at power forward, at point guard. You had Rondo, the bum Rondo, put up over 40. He was a missing puzzle piece to point guard. If you played Westbrook and Rondo, that's who won some of the big GBPs. I think even in Chamber, a couple guys played Rondo. I don't understand how you guys did it or what you were thinking. It worked out. I didn't like the play. I still don't like the play, but he came through, man. What's his name? The guy from Denver, Moutier, had another good game. Teague had a good game. Dennis Schroeder went nuts. Westbrook was phenomenal. So every point guard, basically. Darren Williams played pretty well. It was a crazy night. My boy Gary Harris at shooting guard. I know a lot of you guys still have been sleeping on him. I've been playing him while he's still 4.8K, and he's still 4.8K for Tuesday slate. Lock and load while we can. He's going to be a 6K player probably like in 2 or 3 days from now at this rate. Karl-Anthony Towns at center played really well. He had over 50 Fando points, and Miles Turner as well. And then Paul Millsap did fine. He had over 40 Fando points with Dwight out. All right, injury news, guys. The big ones of the day. Brook Lopez is just resting, but he's going to be out for Brooklyn on Tuesday. Blake is out with some knee procedure. It doesn't sound good, but they're saying it's minor. But he's going to be out for like 3 weeks or so. And then Kevin Love is out. So I did some quick research before the show that I wanted to share with you guys that I thought was interesting. So I looked at all three of those teams with those guys out. Let's start with the Clippers how they do without Blake. Austin Rivers is probably going to be the guy starting, which, you know, because he said, "Daddy, please, more minutes for me." And Doc Rivers is like, "Sure, son. Happy Christmas or Merry Christmas." Austin Rivers sucks. The Clippers still have no bench. How is it every year they have no bench? How is this possible? I mean, Doc Rivers is such a bad GM. But if you look at the usage rates without Blake, Austin Rivers has a 4.6 percentage increase, which is phenomenal. That means, unfortunately, he's a point guard on FanDuel, which is super annoying because point guard's loaded. And Austin Rivers, I think he played like 34 minutes against Miami a few games ago and had like 9 FanDuel points. So he can do that. I mean, I hate playing him in cash games, but he's like, there's not a lot of value point guards. But you probably can do it as long as he's going to be starting. But that usage rate, the percentage, just note that. It's a 4.6% increase, that's phenomenal. Chris Paul, fantastic. Almost a three percentage point increase in usage rate when there's no Blake Griffin. DeAndre Jordan's the other guy that we're going to look to, but you know, not a huge bump for him because obviously he doesn't need the ball. He's in many more rebounds for him, though. And then Jamal Crawford's other guy. He gets an increase of about 2.2 percentage points in usage rate. So he's going to be an intriguing guy to play in some tournaments as long as Blake's out. Let's move over to what happens when Brook Lopez is out. This one surprised me. The guy who gets the biggest bump in usage is Bogdanović, a 4.2 percentage increase in usage rate. Pretty interesting there. So I'm gonna be looking his way. I mean, Brooklyn's going to need some other guys to score. I mean, I wish Lynn was going to be playing a ton of minutes, but I'm not sure how many minutes he's going to get. And plus, Lynn's usage rate doesn't really go up without Brook, which was a little surprising. Kilpatrick goes up 3.7%. Isaiah Whitehead goes up 3.3%. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson goes up 2.6%. And I guess, like, I'm not sure who's going to be starting for him. I guess it's going to be Luis Scola or Anthony Bennett. And Bennett gets almost a 2% increase in usage rate. Scola looks like he doesn't get any, but that's probably because he just hasn't been playing that much this year. I think Justin Hamilton has been out of the rotation. So, I mean, see who's starting there. If Scola or Bennett starts, I mean, they're probably going to be in play, although it is a 11-game slate. So, you know, I'm not sure how much exposure we want. Lastly, with Love out, Kyrie Irving sees a monster 7.3% increase in usage rate. That's insane. J.R. Smith sees a 4.4% increase. Shumpert, 1.8% increase. LeBron, 1.6% increase. And I guess Channing Frye. No, I think Richard Jefferson, is going to be starting. He sees a little bump in usage. He's okay. I never like playing him. And Channing Frye, I guess, will be the other guy that's going to get some run. I don't really want to play him ever, though. But Kyrie becomes an elite play now without Love. I mean, that 7.3% usage rate increase, that's ridiculous. All right. There's that. Took care of that. Knocked that out of the show. Good. Good, good. Moving on. Other injuries. Stuckey looks like Stuckey's still questionable. So Glenn Robinson, although he sucked on Monday, and you know, I guess Glenn Robinson and CJ Miles are back in play a little bit. Although on a 10-11 game slate, you don't really need to go there. Deion Waiters is still out. So, and Wayne Ellington's out too. And Roddy Magruder is questionable. Look, if Magruder is questionable and he doesn't play either, Josh Richardson has killed me every single time we play him. But how can he not explode if there's no Waiters, no Ellington, and Magruder? He's forced into playing 35 minutes. And I would think Tyler Johnson is as well. I mean, Josh Richardson is so dirt cheap. They're basically giving him and Damari Carroll away. I'm going to play some of those guys in tournaments, and because it's just, I don't see how they can't go off one of these nights. Other than that, Clint Capella is also another guy that's out. I forgot what happened to him. I think he broke a fibula or something, or I don't know. He's out for a while though. So it looks like Houston's going to have to start Nene or Harrell. I think Nene's got the edge right now. I think Harrell's a better fit for that team. Harrell's really athletic and get up and down the court. Nene is kind of a bruiser. So I'm not sure how many minutes Nene would get. Even if he starts, Harrell might be the guy that I look to. But Nene is talented whenever he gets minutes. He always gets injured himself. So interesting to see what goes on there. And then for Sacramento, you got Rudy Gay, still questionable with that hip flexor strain. Aminu is still questionable with a back contusion, and Caspi questionable with this illness. For so Sacramento, Matt Barnes again. I mean, ugh, it's just frustrating there. All right, let's hop in. Wow, man, there's a lot to cover in this 11 games. Over unders. I guess the only thing I'll say is two games that are nasty, and we might have to just cut. At least there's Boston, Memphis, 193. I mean, for the most part, I might just X that game out, pretend that game doesn't even exist on this slate. You know, there's not really many guys I want to touch from that game. Also, Orlando, Miami, 197.5. There are a couple guys I still like in that game, especially in tournaments like Whiteside, because you can attack those Orlando bigs, and Dragic is still okay. The highest over-under is Toronto at Brooklyn, or Brooklyn at Toronto. But it's a 223 over under. The problem with the slate here, there's like four or five games that are potential blowouts. Toronto could blow out Brooklyn. They're huge favorite there. Charlotte's a 9.5 point favorite against the Lakers. Yeah, Golden State's an 11 point favorite against Utah. So there's going to be potentially some blowouts here that can make things a little dicey. And then, there's teams like the Spurs who are suddenly an intriguing play because they're playing Houston. 214.5 over-under. That's probably the highest over-under you're going to see from San Antonio this year. And Houston's favored by one. San Antonio's almost never not favored. So that's an interesting game that maybe we can look to target. But I think, I think one philosophy, one approach you can take for the slate is just pretend that blows don't exist. Because like I always said from last week of one of the pods, I did the research on it. Starters get like maybe 2 to 3 minutes less than a blowout. But for the most part, they still do pretty well, and it's not going to be a major factor in my decision making. Although, how can Brooklyn stay close with Toronto without Brook Lopez? That's the one game where I might have to think hard about using Lowry and DeMar. All right, which team to attack because of pace? I need some water, guys. Hold on, I'm very dehydrated. Oh, I hate. I never get sick either. It's very frustrated. This stupid coat. let's see. Teams playing up in pace. Toronto, obviously, because they're playing Brooklyn. Utah always plays up in pace. They're playing Golden State. I think Utah keeps that game close too. Quite honestly, so that can't get. I actually like watching when Golden State plays a team that can beat them up down low. So Utah is actually some intriguing guys there to target. Charlotte playing way up in pace against the Lakers. The Clippers playing up in pace against Denver, and the Kings playing up in pace against Portland. That's the one game where there's no over-under yet. I would imagine that Portland-Sacramento is probably going to be an over-under of like 204 somewhere in there. So nothing great, but not horrible. All right, defensive versus position. You guys know we can attack Brooklyn, every position. Lakers, every position. It's a joke. Denver, I think there is something to this Gary Harris being a pretty good defender too, because Denver is no longer the worst. You can still attack Denver guards, but Denver is no longer gives up the most points to shooting guards. Now they give up the second most. So congrats to you, Gary Harris. Not only are you fantastic offensively, and you made me a lot of money last few nights, you are good for your team's defense too. So, but you still can attack Denver. You can especially attack Moutier. I mean, in all seriousness, Gary Harris is a better defender than whoever the hell they were throwing out before, if it was Will Barton or whoever. So I want to see a few more games, but I'm not going to be attacking the Denver shooting guard like I was pre Gary Harris, even though he's not an elite defender. Although I did some research and not research. I basically just Googled him. And he was known for his defense in college too. So let's see how that plays out. Other things that stand out to me in terms of the center position, the Knicks are dreadful at the center spot because Joakim Noah is a dead man walking. So that means Miles Turner is going to be a nice play again, even though Indiana is on a back-to-back. You got Portland playing. Who do we attack on Portland, guys? You know we attack. Say it with me. We attack the Portland bigs, especially power forward. But even their center, they're getting – Plumlee's getting worse defensively, it seems, because that's rising too. They give up the fifth most now to centers and the most in the NBA to power forward. The problem is Portland plays Sacramento. Who the hell is Sacramento at power forward? They basically play no power forward. I mean, they throw out some Buster Kufis, Cauley Stein. I don't know who's going to play power forward for them. Is Matt Barnes going to play a little power forward? So it's not really a spot we can attack, but we definitely can attack Boogie Cousins, ding, 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 on Tuesday. And in Miami, I still like attacking Whiteside. You can attack the center position. So that means Vucevic's going to be a sneaky play. He's going to be super low owned on Monday or Tuesday. All right, let's move into the plays. Where are all my players? This is annoying. Talk among yourself, guys. Download the app draft and then challenge me. Remember, my name is The Judge on draft. I want some new challenges from you guys. It's easy. It's quite honestly, it's easy money if you play me in draft. Because most of the time, and now I'm sick too. But I'm usually playing like hiding under my desk, you know, doing these snake drafts with you guys because I don't have time during the day. I'm just pulling up the plays for Tuesday. Stay with me. We're getting super close. And wow, they're having a jumbo slam tournament on FanDuel on Tuesday. $40. You normally the slam's only $25. Now it's $40 on Tuesday. Interesting. Not sure if I like FanDuel doing that or not. All right. Here we go. The plays. Point guard. Chris Paul, 9.6K. I mentioned at the top of the show the usage rate, how it goes up a few percentage points without Blake Griffin. He's and the fact that we can attack the Denver guards and attack Moutier. Chris Paul, the only concern here is the blowout. Can Denver keep – Denver had a nice – I think they beat Dallas on – Monday. So on a back-to-back going to the Clippers, can they keep that game close? And where is CP3? So the usage rate without Blake was 28.3%. Now it's going to be, about 31%. And I'm totally fine with him in all formats. He's a great playing cast, super safe. Even if they blow out, I think Denver, I mean, he still should be fine. And if you want to throw him out in tournaments, yeah, absolutely. Damian Lillard, 9.5K. I don't love the matchup here at Sacramento. I think the pace is going to be – there's point guards loaded, especially loaded because of these injuries. So, as I go through the players, I mean, you'll basically know which ones I like to, or I want to target the most. If you want to use some Lillard in tournaments, you obviously can do it. I mean, the man has a 32.2% usage rate, second highest out of all point guards behind Isaiah Thomas. He sucked and killed me against Golden State a couple nights ago, and I do not forgive Jrue Dench for that performance. But 50 FanDuel point upside. He's still super expensive too. So he might be a guy that I completely fade, quite honestly, on Tuesday, although you always can use him in tournaments. Steph Curry, 8.7K. Cheapest I've seen Steph Curry ever, or at least in the 2, 3, 4 years I've been playing DFS. I think I think this is my third year that I've been playing. So yeah, the cheapest I've seen him, And he's tournament only play, not an ideal matchup against Utah. Utah gives up the fewest points to opposing point guards. With that said, he's as sneaky as Steph Curry can be, tournament play. And we've seen guys go off against Utah. If Utah keeps this game, I was doing a consultation with someone today, a DFS consultation, and we were talking about, basically kind of when I'm picking guys, do I think about how the game's actually going to play out? And then does that influence who I choose? And my answer was absolutely. And you think about it. So if Utah can keep this game close, what would be the reason for that on the Utah end? It's probably going to be because Gordon Hayward, maybe some Rodney Hood, some Gobert. And then on Golden State, and this is in terms of if you kind of want to stack a game. And in terms of Golden State, that means that would put guys in play like a Steph Curry and probably a Draymond Green and a Durant. Those would be the three guys for Golden State I'd look to. You could play Clay as well if you wanted to. But so just in case Utah does, I'll probably have a mini stack. I don't want to go get crazy with game stacks on an 11-game slate. But I will have a one or two lineups where I target maybe two Utah guys and two Golden State guys. And one of the Golden State guys I'll probably, I can run out there is Curry. He's going to be super low owned. You can probably get Curry on Tuesday at like a 5-7% in tournaments. That's pretty phenomenal. Granted, there's a reason for that. It's not a good play on paper. Kyle Lowry, 8.4K versus Brooklyn. Just a sweet, super sexy matchup. It's just so safe. Just very comforting. The blow-up potential is the only thing that worries me. If Brook Lopez was playing, I think I'd use Lowry in cash games. Without Brook Lopez right now, I do not have him in cash games, but you still can do it, I think. And tournaments, sure. I mean, if for some reason that game stays close, Lowry should go nuts. Isaiah Whitehead guarding him, he would destroy him. And if Jeremy Lin's not a good defender either. Kemba Walker's 8K. Right now, I do have Kemba Walker locked and loaded in my cash game lineup. The Lakers, you can attack at every position, especially point guard. They're disgusting. Give up the fifth or sixth most FanDuel points to point guards. The price here came up a little bit. That saddens me. I think it was like 7.6K. He had one good game against Atlanta a couple nights ago, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists, 39 FanDuel points. Atlanta is one of those teams that you can attack Dennis Schroeder. Even though he's been playing really well offensively, he stinks defensively. But in this matchup against the Lakers, it's still another perfect matchup for Kemba. Possible blow-up potential here, although that doesn't concern me nearly as much as the Brooklyn game. That's why I prefer in cash Kemba a little bit over Lowry. And he's fine for tournaments too. Isaiah Thomas, I don't love the matchup against Memphis. I stay away from since Conley's back now from Memphis, I'm going to probably be staying away from that, especially in cash games. Even though Isaiah has a 35% usage rate, maybe I throw him in like one or two lineups in tournaments because he could go off. But Memphis gives up the third fewest points to opposing point guards, so he's not in an ideal spot, especially because the next guy is, and that's Kyrie Irving. So he's 7.5K. You're getting him at a discount without Love. I mean, I mentioned the usage rate goes up like seven percentage points, which, I mean, he's like a 30% normally, which it'd put him like at 37%, something insane. So right now Irving is in my cash game lineup. I cannot envision fading him in cash games right now. And he's obviously an excellent tournament play as well. And last time Cleveland played Milwaukee beat them, and Milwaukee matches up pretty well against them. I will say the one thing, Dellavedova is a really sneaky good defender. So, and it's got a little Dellavedova revenge factor going on here. So yeah, I think Milwaukee can keep that game close, and Kyrie's in a really nice spot for him, especially without Kevin Love. Goran Dragic, he's probably going to switch over to it. I've been using him in cash. He's going to switch over to tournament play for me only on Tuesday just because of the pace of this game. There's guys like Kemba and Kyrie a little better for cash. But he's totally fine for tournaments. Jeff Teague, 7.3K versus the Knicks. Another guy, quite honestly – Indiana is coming on a back-to-back. He was so good. I couldn't believe how good he looked on Sunday night – or Monday, sorry, versus Washington. He had 47 FanDuel points. The thing that surprised me, he had 10 assists. which he's starting to rack up assists on a somewhat frequent basis. His usage rate is pretty high as well. It's 26.4%, not elite, but he's doing other things. He's getting lots of steals, lots of assists, even some rebounds. And so, I mean, Teague's an, against Derrick Rose, or I think Derrick Rose is going to be playing. He's an under the radar play. And quite honestly, if in cash you could do it. I think it's so hard to fade Kyrie in cash though. But tournaments, yeah, it's a sneaky play. I think he's going to be underowned again. Speaking of sneaky plays, the next guy, maybe my sneaky ninja of the night, and that's Drew Holiday. I don't think anyone's going to play him on Tuesday. I really don't. He's 7.2K in a beautiful spot at Philly. So I am definitely going to have some lineups where I play Drew Holiday. You guys know my strategy, right? If I'm playing Drew, I'm going to team him up with Anthony Davis because if he gets me 10 assists, half of those are going to go to AD. I love that little mini stack action there in this game. This should be a pretty hot, up-tempo game for them. He's looked horrible last two games. So I'm hoping the recency bias makes people want to fade him in tournaments. I wouldn't touch him in – yeah, I probably wouldn't play him in cash, but tournaments, I think he's a nice play. Mike Conley, 6.9K. That's a fair price for him. The problem is it's this slate. 11 games. The other guys I like more. He's getting 29 minutes since he's come back from injury. So I'd want to see those minutes come up a little bit before I felt safe playing him. So the slate dictates what I do. So on this slate, I'm probably not – I can't play a lot of Conley. Jeremy Lin, 6.5K. It's kind of a similar thing with him. Unless the news comes out he's going to play 30-something minutes, I can't go near him. He's only getting about 20 minutes right now. But he's putting up a fantasy point per minute, and he's in an interesting spot against Toronto in an up-tempo game. I mean, the thing here, like I just mentioned, when I think about the game, if Brooklyn does keep it close somehow, you think it would be because Lin goes nuts. But in 20 minutes, how nuts can you go? Where are we? D'Angelo Russell, 5.8K. Russell's an intriguing guy to me, and that's because the usage rate is 31%. So you're telling me I can get a guy at 5.8K with 31% usage rate whose minutes now are slowly coming up. He got 27 last game. He's dealt with that injury, and the minutes were 17 his first game back, 20, 23, 27. So hey, if we're playing this little logic math game, whatever the hell this is, back in elementary school, when we play this, we'd have a game like that. It would be like, what's the next game? How many minutes? Well, judging by this equation, it would be like 30 to 31 minutes. If he gives me 31 minutes on Tuesday, that would put him in play for me in tournaments, and he's going to go under owned. I mean, you get him at 5% owned on he does have 40 FanDuel point upside. And so I'm going to check the news and see, check how many minutes Luke Walton is going to play him on Tuesday. Tim Frazier. Yeah. I'm not going to ride the Tim Frazier train. His price keeps coming up. He had a really good game against San Antonio, but it was a blowout. So he got extra minutes and it's just, yeah, I'm not playing 5.7K. No, thank you. Patrick Beverley. He continues to produce. He just continues. It's ridiculous. 5.6K and he's 27, 36, 25, 28, 27, 29, 37, 22, 27. And the minutes, I mean, he got 43 minutes last game. So if you want a value play at point guard, I mean, I guess he's one of the, I mean, if 5.6 is value to you, I think he's fine for cash, even though it's against the Spurs. It's got a pretty nice over-under, and there's not a ton of value guys at point guard. So I think he's an okay play to run out there in cash games. Alfred Payton, yeah, I just don't want to go that way on Tuesday. Darren Collison, he's yet to show me any reason why I should ever play him, ever. I mean, he's been consistently mediocre. So if you want to roll him out on an 11-game slate in cash games, I guess you can because Judy Dench, Lillard doesn't play any defense, but I think there's better options. Tyler Johnson, 5.3K. Look, if Waiters is out and Magruder's out, I will absolutely have some exposure to Tyler Johnson. I'll probably limit it to tournaments, but you could do it if Magruder's out, you could still do it in cash. He's probably just as safe as Beverly is. even though the game logs will tell you that Beverly's been a little more consistent. Although I think Tyler Johnson has a little bit higher upside, quite honestly. So maybe Tyler Johnson in some tournaments. Moutier, look, guys, we can't ignore the fact that he's had two games in a row of 34 and 39 Fando points. So at 5K, he's gotten you almost eight times value. At least one of those nights if he gives you 40 Fando points. So that means I got to look at him. And if Denver somehow keeps this game close, it's going to be because Moutier plays well, Jokic plays well, Wilson Chandler probably plays well. So, you know, a little mini stack of that game you could do with some Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan and maybe throw in an Austin Rivers if you wanted to. So I'm not going to, you know, I haven't been touching him. I'm going to start looking his way, maybe not in this 11-game slate, but, you know, the numbers, you know, you got, I mean, if he's producing that well, it's hard to ignore. Sergio Rodriguez, I think I've had my fill of that guy just destroying my life and my nights. I don't have enough whiskey in my cabinet to play him. Even though he's in a nice spot here against New Orleans 5K, you want to roll him up for cash, you can do it. I'm just not going to go that route on Tuesday. Other than that, the only other guy I would look to is Austin Rivers. He is 3.9K. I don't know why he's a point guard on FanDuel. 25, 34, 38 minutes the last three, 19, 9, and 34 FanDuel points. So that's – if you told me he gets – 10 FanDuel points or he gets 30 on Tuesday, I wouldn't be surprised either way. So he's on the roller coaster at Magic Mountain with us. It's very hard to predict what he's going to do. In theory, you can attack Denver guards, right? So he should be okay, but you know, I don't know. He's been one of the most frustrating players to watch in person and destroy my lineups in the, especially last year. Shooting guard. Get some more water. James Harden's 11K. So his prices come down a little bit. Versus Spurs, you can attack the Spurs guards. All year long, you've been able to attack them both at point guard and shooting guard. So I think Harden's still in play on Tuesday. Right now, I do not. San Antonio somehow, I don't understand this, gives up like the ninth most points to or 10th most points to shooting guards, even though Danny Green's a really good defender, so it makes no sense to me. But you know, Harden should be relatively safe. He's 11K for him. That's a fair price right now. I'm not going to use him in cash games, although you always can, and you can always use him in tournaments. Giannis 10.2K right now. I am using Giannis instead of Harden. The last time Giannis played the Cavs, he put up over 60 Fando points. And I think the fact that Love's out, going to make sure Milwaukee can keep this game nice and close. Cleveland has no one to handle him. I mean, no one in the league has anyone to handle him. The only one that can stop Giannis is Giannis. And he's been making his jumper lately. So I think he's just a super safe play. He's really good in all formats. I really like this Cleveland-Milwaukee game. I especially love Giannis and Jabari Parker for the Bucks. DeMar DeRozan, 8.6K. Yeah, I mean, I love it because I love attacking Brooklyn. I want to feast on Brooklyn every day of the week. The blowout here is the concern, and if you're willing to overlook that, you absolutely can fire him up. I mean, the problem is if you go Giannis and you play. I mean, right now for me, I have Kemba and Kyrie as my two point guards, and then I have Giannis, and I want to spend up at some other spots. So I don't have the money to spend up for another high value shooting guard spot because I want to go with my boys Gary Harris again. Anyway, so you know I'm not going to roll DeMar in cash, although I think it's perfectly fine. And if somehow Brooklyn keeps that game close, he smashes value. CJ McCollum, I just don't like this Portland Sacramento game. This might be a game that I, besides Boogie Cousins, I just pretended that doesn't exist. I don't like rostering the one trick ponies on large slates. You want to do it in a tournament, fine, but I don't love it. Nick Batum, nice spot here for him against the Lakers. The problem is his price went up. Kemba was struggling for a little bit, so Batum got some more shots. Usage went up. I do like the matchup. I think this is an interesting spot for him. I think he's going to be super low owned, and you can absolutely attack the Lakers. So And I think a sneaky move is playing a lineup of like Kemba and Batum. It's very rare you see a lineup where someone plays Kemba and Batum, and because the odds are they're both not going to go off. But I like that strategy in tournaments because it absolutely can happen, especially against the Lakers. So Batum's fine. I mean, I just don't know where I want to use him yet. But everyone against the Lakers, everyone for Charlotte is in play, which is weird to say because normally from Charlotte, besides Kemba and Batum, you know, and Frank the Tank's a dead man to me. I'm not sure where else you're going to look. Maybe a Zeller. Marvin Williams, God forbid, we're going to go there. Avery Bradley, not against Memphis, too expensive, 6.9K. No, thank you. Klay Thompson, 6.2K. Tournaments, maybe, but I don't want to. I really don't want to attack Utah that much. And One Trick Ponies on an 11-game slate. No, thank you for cash, at least. Evan Fournier, it's okay. 22, 26, 36, 38, 40 the last five games. So, I mean, this is one of the slower-paced games of the night. Fournier's, the usage rate's not tremendous, 24%. Miami does defend the shooting guard pretty well, give up the sixth fewest, which is a weird stat to me because does that mean Deion Waiters, when he was playing, was a good defender? I'm not sure what that means, but I'm not going to play a ton of him. You probably can do a little bit better. Eric Gordon, his price has come way up. 5.7K for someone coming off the bench is pretty pricey. Although, like I keep telling you guys, he's been really nice, safe floor and a nice ceiling. 36, 34, 27, 21, 22, 24, 32, 28, 28. That's safety. So quite honestly, if you're struggling to find someone to play for cash games, just plug him in. I mean, I've watched a lot of those Houston games. He gets so many wide open. I mean, all the defense goes to Harden. I mean, you guys have heard me say this before. Literally, I mean, Beverly, Gordon, Ryan Anderson, and Ariza, they just stand on the three-point arc. Harden dribbles, dribble, 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 dribbles. And then last second, he'll pass to one of those guys, and they'll get a wide open three. And Eric Gordon, he's been making his. He's getting a lot of minutes. So even though he's a bench guy, and it's really a name only, he gets starter-level minutes. And I think he's fine again. And he's always underowned. No one plays him. He always goes over underlooked. I think you can do a mini stack of this Houston game. You could do like a Harden. And remember, if you do play Harden, you got to play another Houston guy. It doesn't make sense because Harden's going to get you. If you're playing Harden, you're playing him because you think he's going to get you a lot of assists. He's going to get you, let's say, 12 assists. So he's got to give them to someone. I'd say probably, you know, three or four, maybe go to Ryan Anderson. Maybe three or four go to Eric Gordon. So if you play Harden, you got to team up with someone. Three or four maybe go to Ariza or maybe two go to Beverly. So if you're playing Harden, I definitely would team up with one of those shooters. Lately in tournaments, Harden and Ryan Anderson is one of my favorite combos to do. But Gordon's fine. Lou Williams is 5.7K. That's too pricey to me for a one-trick pony. 11-game slate. The minutes have not been there lately. I don't know why that price has not come down more. Tony Allen, I continue to say that I fade him, and he continues to mock me every night. 24 last game against Utah, where I said that I was no way in hell I'm playing him. 32, 33 before that. He had one clunker against Cleveland, but really he's been in the 20s or low 30s the last five, six games, even though Conley's back now and they're basically fully healthy against Boston. I'm not going to go that route. Although if you do, look, he's still getting lots of minutes, so go ahead. Will Barton, no thank you. Maybe in tournaments, but I want my boy Gary Harris instead. Barton's minutes have been like around, I think in like around 24. Yeah, 24 against Dallas on Monday. You know, the only thing I'll say about Denver is if Barton gets hot, they do leave him out there, and there's a shot for him to get 30 minutes. But I still would prefer Gary Harris, especially in cash. Rodney Hood. Yeah, Rodney Hood's a guy who you guys probably haven't been playing lately. I haven't been playing lately. If Utah, think about it. Like I just mentioned, if Utah keeps this game close, they're going to need Hayward to play well. They're going to need Hood to play well. And Hood to make some shots. So, I mean, the game logs are pretty disgusting. Although, I don't know. I mean, against Memphis, he struggled. But then he had 23 and 27 Dallas and OKC. So he'll be super low-owned. And I think in tournaments, if you want to play a couple of these Utah guys playing way up in pace, I love to attack teams playing way up in pace. So I'll probably have a lineup or two where I go Gordon Hayward and Rodney Hood in tournaments. Sean Kilpatrick, similar kind of thing to Rodney Hood, right? If Brooklyn can keep this game close, Kilpatrick's going to probably have a hand in it. The problem is here is the more and more minutes that Lynn gets, that means Kilpatrick's, you know, his minutes in Houston are going to go down. 16 and 24 the first two games with Lynn back, and the minutes have been in the mid-20s. The one reason why I will consider him is because Brook Lopez is out. They're going to need scoring, and they're going to need Kilpatrick to shoot the ball. So, yeah, tournaments only, though. I don't think I'd roll him out in cash. I mentioned Gary Harris. Right now, he's a lock and load. 4.8K, that's ridiculously too cheap for someone who's giving me 33, 25, and 38 FanDuel points and playing over 30 minutes a night right now. Nick Young, look, he went off for 40 FanDuel points on this thing was Sunday, maybe. I think that was when Russell was out, and he got 38 minutes too. Dear God, if Russell's playing though, I you know, Russell has such a high usage rate that really hurt. That really does affect Nick Young. And at 4 point, Nick Young's price has come up a little bit. I'm not going to chase points on him. Yeah, I mean, you can do it in tournaments if you want. I'm not going to. Garrett Temple, I'll just mention him for Sacramento, because he has been the one guy under the radar playing really well for them since Rudy Gay's been out. They need him to score, and he's been giving you 25, 32, 27, 21 FanDuel points. So 4.3K, a sneaky guy. Let's say you don't want to play Gary Harris, he's going to be too owned in tournaments. Maybe you just pivot over and play some Garrett Temple. He's going to get some C.J. McCollum defense, and that's basically non-existent defense. And then lastly, J.J. Redick, I'll mention. I think he's intriguing to me because of no Blake. Maybe he'll get some more shots. He definitely will get some more shots. Although usage rate doesn't take a huge bump. And when I did some research, I mentioned Jamal Crawford. I think he's an intriguing play for tournaments. And then Josh Richardson is also, if Magruder's out, I mean, Jay Rich is still getting, he got 35 minutes against Boston. I mean, 35 minutes, 12 FanDuel points. You know, that's got to change. You would think. But maybe it's not safe enough for cash. So if you want to do it in tournaments only, it's fine. Small forward, man, 11 games. That's a lot of talking for the judge, especially when he's sick. I'm also out of coldies. I love to suck on coldies when I have a cold. And for some reason I forgot to get them. I stop at Dwayne Reed and pick some up, man. All right, let's power through, judge. Come on. All right, here we go. Small forward, LeBron, 10.4K. I think Kyrie is the guy who sees the biggest beneficiary of, and the numbers back that up, of Love being out. But LeBron does too. And he's right now, I might have to redo my cash game lineup. Because right now, I don't have him in my cash game. And I don't know why don't I? I might have to reconsider that. He's obviously fine for cash games, and he's an elite level tournament play as well. Kevin Durant, 9.9K. I like the fact of having a little game stack of this Utah Golden State game. I really do think Utah keeps this game close. Durant's ownership, which I track feverishly, no pun intended, because I might be coming down with a fever, has been really low the last few games. I love when you can get guys like Durant, Curry, you know, I mean, Durant's not going to be 5%, but he'll be, you know, 12% owned, something like that, on maybe a little higher, maybe 15% owned. But when you can get a guy who's give you 60 FanDuel points at that price, it's something that you need to consider in tournaments. I don't know if you want to go that route in cash, especially when LeBron's just a much safer play. But he's fine, obviously. Kawhi Leonard, 8.4K. Man, Kawhi is in a really juicy spot here against Houston. Trevor Ariza, you know, he's reverse Benjamin Button. He's no spring chicken anymore. Kawhi should have Kawhi should be able to do whatever he wants against Ariza. A fast tempo game for Kawhi. this could be a really nice spot. If you don't want to spend up on LeBron, you can save $2,000. I mean, right now, that name just screams cash game play to me. And I mean, I might just cross out Kawhi and put cash for his name on Tuesday. Paul George, I don't want to do it on a back-to-back 8.1K. He actually, I watched that entire Indiana game on Monday. He had 40 minutes and had 39 FanDuel points. And he played pretty well. The problem is he played pretty well and had 40 minutes and only had 39 FanDuel points. So he didn't even hit value. And he played about as well as he can play. Like, Jeff Teague dominates the ball. And I mean, like, they went to Paul George a lot down the stretch, the last like 6 minutes of the game. But man, the rest of the game, Teague gets handling the ball a ton, gets a lot of shots. Miles Turner is very actively involved in that offense. CJ Miles. There's even though Monte Ellis is not playing right now, there's still a lot of other guys that get shots. And Paul George, I always talk about his usage rate not that high, and it's on full display when you watch them play. And I think he's okay for tournaments if you want to roll him out. But like, I just think on an 11 game slate, you have better options. Gordon Hayward, 7.9K. Man, this show might kill me, guys. At Golden State, look, he was the key to the puzzle against Memphis on Sunday. 47 points against Memphis. If you can put up 47 points against Memphis in a super slow-paced game, now you got the complete polar opposite, super fast-paced game. Why not, man? In tournaments? Throw out some Gordon Hayward. If Utah keeps this game close, it's going to be because he plays really well. And maybe Hood's making some shots too. So it's a nice tournament play. And the ownership should be pretty low on this 11-game slate. Carmelo, the only thing I like about this matchup is the Knicks are playing way up in pace. He's been fine. Whatever. It's just it's kind of hard to get too excited to play Melo these days. But – and Rose is coming back too. Whatever. You can play a little Melo if you want. I'll probably want to look other spots. Wilson Chandler, 5.8K. I used a decent amount of Wilson Chandler on Sunday, and it was a nice contrarian move. I told you guys on the pod yesterday I was going to roll out some Wilson Chandler Gallinari lineups, and I did have one of those, and it worked out, man. Gallo had 30 Fando points, and Wilson Chandler had 32 Fando points. So it was a beautiful play by me. Now, unfortunately, that was the one stupid lineup where I had Andre the busted up Drummond. So it didn't work out, that lineup, but the strategy paid off. And with these two guys, if you're gonna pick one right now, I go Chandler and cash games because the usage rate is about 5 percentage points higher than Gallinari's is. But they're both in play for me. I think Denver's been they're playing pretty well now, especially because Jokic is just balling out of his mind. It is a back-to-back, though, so Gallo – I mean, both these guys are a little bit older. That's why maybe this could be like a Will Barton game, because if Chandler and Gallo's minutes go down. But they're both okay, not elite plays on Tuesday. Ariza, 5.7K. You know, if you want to play Ariza, you can do it. He's going to get 6, 7, 8 three-point attempts off Harden passes. And he's been relatively consistent. He's always we got a floor about 20 and a ceiling of like 35. So if you want to roll him out, you can do it. Now, is he going to have some Kawhi Leonard defense? I guess I didn't touch on this, right? Who's going to be guarding James Harden? Is it going to be Kawhi, or is Kawhi going to be on someone like Trevor Ariza? I think they probably start out the game with Danny Green on Harden, but I could see stretches, especially in the fourth quarter, where they do put Kawhi on Harden. So maybe that's another reason why for cash games, if you want to go Giannis over James Harden, because if Kawhi does go over to Harden, that makes it a really tough matchup for him. Jay Crowder, he's always a cash game lock for me, but on Tuesday he may not be. I don't want to play guys from this Boston Memphis game for the most part. Even though Crowder's coming off a really nice game against Miami, 34 Fando points, which is his highest that was his highest of the year. So the first game of the year, he had 35 Fando points. Then he was, injured for a lot. And then he was in the 20s for like, seems like centuries. But But against Miami, that was a couple days ago. That was his second best game of the year. Crowder's still okay. He still should be fine. He'll grind out somehow 25 FanDuel points on Tuesday. Covington, I mean, I might prefer Covington in cash to Crowder just because the matchup here is against New Orleans. And I'm watching all these Philly games, and the minutes 35, 36, 31, 34, 31. If you're going to give me some peasant Covington or Lord Covington, whichever one you want to call him, over 30 minutes, he's going to get me steals, some assists. He's going to stumble into some rebounds, and he's been driving to the hoop more, which I like, and he's going to get lots of three-point attempts. So he's a guy with a decent floor. It's still a little bit. There's some cracks in there that could kill your lineup, but the ceiling is just really nice, especially in this juicy matchup versus the Pelicans. So I like me some Lord Covington again on Tuesday. I'm trying to see I wish his usage rate would go up. It's only 18%, but it's hard to have high usage rate when you play with Embiid, who has a 35% usage rate. Mo Harkless, 4.8K. Normally he's super fine for cash. He's a nice cash game to play. That's going to be a super slowdown game. I really do like to target Harkless kind of an up-tempo matchup, so probably not the ideal spot for him. A sneaky ninja play at small forward is Winslow. Justice Winslow, 4.7K. I think he's starting now for Miami. 32 minutes last game out, 24 FanDuel points. Struggles to score the ball and struggles to shoot, but Miami needs him. And there's a chance he can get you 30, 35 FanDuel points. So no one's going to play him. As long as he's healthy, he's locked into 30 plus minutes. It's a sneaky play. Also, I mentioned Bogdanović at the top of the show. With Brook Lopez out, his usage goes way up. So he's a sneaky guy you could throw in some tournaments. He could put up a 30, 35 FanDuel point night if he's going to get a lot of shots without Brook Lopez. Other than that, you know, Glenn Robinson, if you want, you can look at Aaron Gordon. If you want Matt Barnes, you can go to a little bit. And then Damari Carroll is for free on FanDuel. He's literally for free. It says free. Salary, free. 3.9K. It's just, he's been so bad. It's just been painful to watch. Last three games, 12, 8, and 16. So I understand if you don't want to do it. I am going to play him in one lineup. Granted, it might only be a tournament. But against Brooklyn, even if they do blow out Brooklyn, how can he not stumble and bumble and fumble and grumble into 20 FanDuel points? Come on. That's so frustrating. All right, power forward. Trying to speed up, guys. So many players. Anthony Davis, 11.5K. It's expensive. 11-game slate. You do have the value to do it. I'm always nervous to play him. The injuries, last two games he sucked, 19 and 29. I'm pretty sure he was in the locker room for one of those games, and the other one was a blowout. So as long as a game can stay close and he doesn't go to the locker room because of an eyelash or a toenail issue, he's fine. And he's going up against Philly. I mean, who's going to be guarding him? Okafor? I mean, dear God, he should smash. I think he's okay for cash, but pricey. And I think he's an elite level tournament play if you can somehow get him in your lineups. I mean, typically though, on these large slates, I mean, you don't have to play these superstars when you look at the winning lineups. A part of me does worry he's going to put up like an 80 FanDuel point night and make it. And then if you don't have him, you're kind of out of luck. But I don't know. I got to think of what to do there. Let's just say this. He's an excellent play. There's no one on Philly that can handle him. He's way too talented for Okafor in every possible way. Draymond Green is 8K. Yeah, whatever. If you want to stack that Utah Golden State game, he's a good guy to play. He's safe. He's not scoring dependent. Porzingis, 7.8K. This is a nice little play here. The Knicks are playing way up in pace. You know, Porzingis should give Thaddeus Young all kinds of trouble. Thaddeus Young just doesn't have the foot speed to stay out with him. And Porzingis has the length, way too much length for Thaddeus Young as well. So I'm trying to see, have the Knicks played Indiana yet this year? I don't think they have yet. So a good spot here for Porzingis. He had that one clunker against Golden State. Otherwise, he's been really pretty consistent with a nice floor around 35 and a ceiling of, you know, like 60. So he's going to be underowned on this slate. And I think he should be able to have his way with Indiana. LaMarcus Aldridge, I just don't play Aldridge these days, even though against Houston, you could do it. I mean, he should, on paper, he should be able to bully the heck out of Ryan Anderson, or whoever's going to be guarding him. Jabari Parker, yep, love me some Parker. Right now, I have him in one of my cash game spots. The last time they played Cleveland, he put up 29 FanDuel points. That was with Kevin Love. I mean, now who, Richard Jefferson or Channing Frye, he should be able to have his way offensively. So I think he's a pretty nice play on Tuesday. All formats. Julius Randle, you can do it in turn-ins if you want, 6.3K. I mean, I don't love that play. Serge Ibaka, another play I really don't like that much, even though he's been surprisingly consistent. Jokic, 5 point. Jokic is still, I mean, the way that Jokic and Gary Harris are playing, Jokic will be like 7K in about 4 or 5 days, and Gary Harris will be like 6K. As long as, I don't, even though it's a back-to-back, as long as Jokic is healthy, I mean, he should be able to destroy the Clippers as well. Now without Blake Griffin, who's going to be guarding him? Most Spates? I mean, I guess they're still – no, I guess they're starting Austin Rivers. So is Mbah Mute actually going to be defending Jokic? Maybe they put DeAndre Jordan on him? Like, he still should have his way at that price. He's just playing too well to – I think to fade and cash. I think he's got to be in your cash game lineup. And he's an elite level – again, an elite level tournament play until that price rises. Derek Favors, 5.7K. I still need him to get more minutes right now. He's still stuck at 14 minutes a night, so nope. Other than that, I mean, maybe a little bit of Trevor Booker in tournaments if Brooklyn can keep that game close. It'll be because of Booker. I do like a little bit of Ilyasova at 5.66K. I just wish he would get more minutes. I wish they would just bench Okafor, who's a bum and doesn't deserve to be on the court, and play Ilyasova. Ilyasova is such a much better fit with Embiid to space the floor. He had 30, did have 30 FanDuel points and played 31 minutes against Brooklyn in the last game. So I expect Ersan to get 30 minutes again. He's playing really well. I quite honestly, if you want to roll him out for cash, I can see why you'd be a little nervous, but I think he could do it, and I think he's fine for tournaments too. I mentioned Ryan Anderson. I like teaming him up with Harden in like one or two lineups. Jamichael Green, if you want to roll him out in cash, you could do that. My boy Thad Young, 4.7K against the Knicks. He played really well. He hit the game-winning basket against Washington at the buzzer. I think it was at the buzzer, quite honestly, on Monday. 28 FanDuel points. That's giving you almost six times value. He's getting the minutes. That's the key for me, 38, 33, 36, 39. He's starting to play a little better. He's not scoring dependent, can fill up the stat sheet. Quite honestly, he's another guy very safe for cash games, I think, at this right now. Not the best matchup versus Porzingis, but I still think he's going to get his minutes. Mo Spates, if you want to go that route, you can. I'm not sure what to expect with Mo Spates. I still don't think he's going to get a lot of minutes. But I need to see a game or two without Blake before I can kind of figure out what he's going to do. I mean, the one game he's a fantasy point per minute guy. He's always been that way, but he can't do anything defensively. So he's really hard to keep on the floor if you're a coach. He's similar to Enes Kanter that way. He's really good offensively, but defensively he's such a hazard to your team. You know, the one game he played 25 minutes this year, he put up 36 FanDuel points. So if you want to throw him out in a tournament, you know, go ahead and do it. I just don't know what to expect. That's as low as I'm going to spend on, power forward. Finally, center. Man, my voice, guys. I'm losing my voice. The judge is powering through the show. I shall not give in to this cold. Wish I did have some coldies, though. Man. All right, DeMarcus Cousins, 11.2K. Just an absolute elite-level play here. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing with my cash game because I'm looking at it. Maybe it's because I'm, you know, I don't even know where I am right now. I'm delusional. Right now, I have DeAndre Jordan as my cash game center because I want to attack the fact that Blake is out and DeAndre, and you can attack Denver bigs, and DeAndre should be a lock for like 15, 20 rebounds. But if you can find the money, DeMarcus Cousins is an elite level play in all formats. We can attack Portland bigs. he should absolutely destroy them. So I really do love that play, and I'll be playing a lot of him. Even if I don't play him in cash, I will absolutely have him in tournaments. Whiteside, I like Whiteside again too, because you know I like both the centers in this game. I like Vucevic on for Orlando, and I like Whiteside. Both set big guys can't play defense. Whiteside's coming off 47 FanDuel points against Boston. He had a 53 point against Indiana. He's expensive, but he is $2,000 cheaper than Cousins. So yeah, I mean, I think he's fine. Marcus Gasol, 8.1K. Boston's is they're becoming a little bit better versus center. The fact that you could attack them so and their DVP was so bad early in the season was because Horford was out. Now that since Horford's been back, Boston has been better defensively against the center position. But with that said, Gasol is still a fine play. The problem is here the price came way up because Conley was gone. Now that Conley's back, Gasol just doesn't have the ceiling that we need. I think he's, I think he's got a floor of like 30. The ceiling's probably like 45, maybe. I just think, I think Whiteside and Cousins are by far superior options to him. And there's some DeAndre Jordan I would probably prefer to play in cash. So I'm not going to use a ton of Gasol. Al Horford, 8K. He's the one guy I just never get right. He played well the last two games, 42 and 48. But I'm not going to look that route. I do not attack Marc Gasol on the defensive end, and I'm not going to be playing Al Horford on Tuesday. DeAndre Jordan, yeah, I'm going to use Jordan in cash games, and right now at least in cash, and then I'm also going to lock and load in tournaments. And last year when Blake was out, he crushed it. He absolutely smashed. Now my only concern is, Denver goes to they start following him. Hack a DeAndre or hack a Jordan, whatever you want to call it, and then Doc takes him out. And for some reason, Doc goes small. That's my only concern here, or a potential blowout. But DeAndre still should be fine. Rudy Gobert, I like him as well. He's another man. The center, I really like center. There's a lot of guys you can play. He's in a good spot here against Golden State. I like Utah because they're the one team that will not go small with Golden State. To match them. They will keep Gobert on the court, and he should be able to get all the rebounds in the world that he wants. There's no one that can defend him. Draymond Green is way too small. If they try to use Draymond at the five or Durant at the five, whatever they try to do, he should be able to get every offensive rebound, every defensive rebound as well, and block a lot of shots. So he's a good play on Tuesday. Embiid, 7.2K. So I think his price was 6.8K. I think it went up a little bit. Because he's coming off a 52 FanDuel point night. Yeah, I mean, you can attack these Pelican centers. I mean, Osic or Angelic. I don't know who they're going to be play on, who's going to be guarding Embiid, but I don't think it'd be Anthony Davis. And Embiid, again, is in another really good spot here. And the problem is, it's a tough question, man. Do you go DeAndre Jordan with a usage rate of like zero versus Embiid with a usage rate of 35. I may, quite honestly, I might switch over to Embiid before lineup lock. It's hard to fade Embiid in cash. Even though he's only getting 28 minutes, it's just such a juicy matchup. And it's when your usage rate's that high, I mean, he's gonna produce. I'm gonna have to think about what to do there. He's in a good spot. Vucevic, I told you I like that, but that's gonna be tournaments only against Miami. Other than that, Plumlee, he's been consistent this year, but now the price keeps coming up, 6.3K, and you can do that against you can attack Cousins on the defensive end. He'll be less than 5%. No one's going to play Plumlee. He's fine. Miles Turner, he's coming off some really nice games here. Another really good spot versus the Knicks, who have no one to play center. So I like Turner as well, man. There's so many good centers. There's going to be so many interesting creative lineups that we all can make on Tuesday. I mean, the last 2 days with our five-game slates, it was hard to come up with creative lineups. Tuesday, that will not be the case. There's options galore. Valanciunas, I do not like. You guys should know my strategy on Valanciunas. I love playing him when he's up against an actual legitimate center against Brooklyn. If Brook Lopez was playing, I would play him. But no Brook Lopez. They really don't need to play Valanciunas. They could play Patrick Patterson at the five a lot of minutes. I don't see Valanciunas getting a ton of minutes. You know, if he does, he should destroy them. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of this play. Other than that, that's probably as low as I'm going to go. I'm not going to probably play Zeller, Tristan Thompson. I guess you could play, but I don't really want to do it. And Bismack, I'm probably not going to go that route either. Center, there's so many good options that I think we don't need to spend way down to really take down a big GPP or to win a lot of money on Tuesday. All right, that's it. That's a slate. I am exhausted. I am tired. I am delusional. I'm hallucinating. I don't even know what time it is where I am. I think I got through the show, though. I think you guys will tell me if I didn't, right? So let's make a lot of money on Tuesday. There's a lot going on. Make sure to monitor the news throughout the day. There's already lots of you know, guys sitting out, resting, and value. So by the time lineup lock hits, I mean, we all might need an oxygen mask. So with that said, I hope you did well on Monday. Hope you have a good Tuesday and you make some money on Tuesday's slate. I'm going to go to the bathroom and lay down. With that said, the judge is out. And if I can find how to turn this podcast off, I will say my line. Hold on. I think I see it. Here it is, the screen that I can turn off. All right, guys. I love all of you. So see you tomorrow. Court is adjourned.